KPBS On Demand is supported by La Jolla Playhouse, premiering 3 summers of Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass met just 3 times to unite a divided nation. This spectacular new musical features an epic original score blending gospel, R&B, and Broadway. Begins February 18th. Tickets at LaJollaPlayhouse.org.
Good morning, I'm Tepi Cruz. It's Tuesday, December 10th. A family whose son died in the Vista jail is demanding answers. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. San Diego County is under a red flag warning because of strong Santa Ana winds. That means there are critical fire danger conditions. National Weather Service meteorologist Adam Roser says to expect winds of 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 60 to 65 miles per hour.
We're really going to see kind of a lot of easterly winds with this system. That's where they're going to be strongest throughout Southern California. So the San Diego County through the mountains and the foothills is going to be the highest winds.
The high winds could also cause downed power lines. SDG&E has issued public safety power shutoff notices, telling customers in certain areas to prepare for a possible outage. The red flag warning lasts until 4 in the morning tomorrow. San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria will be inaugurated into his second 4-year term this morning. The new city attorney, Heather Ferbert, will also be sworn in. She's worked in the city attorney's office since 2014 and was previously a chief deputy city attorney. All 5 city council members that were on the ballot last month won their re-election bids. They'll also take part in the inauguration. Later this afternoon, they're scheduled to select a new city council president. Today is the deadline to pay the first half of your property taxes. If you pay them after today, you will have to pay an additional fee. The county treasurer tax collector says the easiest way to pay them is by going to sdtcc.com. The second installment is due by April 10th. Property taxes are expected to generate over $9 billion for the region. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, a divisive election year, and strained budgets are all topics that can create tension in the workplace. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
A Virginia family says they have been waiting 9 months for answers about their son's death at the jail in Vista. Reporter John Carroll says they came to San Diego to demand those answers in person.
The scene outside the sheriff's substation in Vista Monday morning was heartbreaking. The mother and stepfather of 29-year-old Abdul Aziz Kamara asking why they still don't know any details surrounding the death of their son back in March. San Diego police are conducting the investigation. They say Kamara resisted arrest for being under the influence. They say he also tried to harm himself by banging his head against the patrol car's window. But officials haven't said anything about what happened after that. Kamara died hours later. His mother, Frederica Nabi, broke down while demanding answers.
I need an answer. I need an answer for this answer, man. I need an answer.
San Diego Supervisor Monica Montgomery Stepp will introduce a proposal on Tuesday to strengthen CLERB, that's the Citizens Law Enforcement Review Board, an effort in part to get answers for all the families who've lost a loved one while in a San Diego County jail. John Carroll, KPBS News.
San Diego transportation officials are narrowing down their options for a new and improved public transit connection to the airport. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says funding is a big hurdle.
The planning agency SANDAG has been considering 3 modes of connecting the airport, an extension of existing trolley lines, an automated people mover, and a rapid bus line. A people mover could provide the most frequent service, but buses are by far the cheapest option. At a SANDAG board meeting Friday, Encinitas Mayor Tony Kranz says cost is an important factor.
I think it's going to be a long time before the resources are available to build a billion-dollar project that serves so few people. And so I would encourage consideration of extending these bus options and making them work better.
Sandag says it's ready to make some improvements to airport bus service as soon as fall 2025. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
The Tijuana River pollution crisis remains a looming threat to the health of communities in South San Diego. State Senator Steve Padilla sat down with KPBS Midday Edition host Jade Hindman to discuss his latest attempt to provide some relief.
So you're proposing a toll charge to fund pollution cleanup projects. Where will this toll be situated and how will it work?
Well, the Otay Mesa East Toll Facilities Act already exists. And as you know, that has been the planning and for many, many years, and is coming online, I think, roughly in 2027. And it will be a toll facility. It's a state highway. It's important to the binational economy. It's important to move people and goods across the border region. But it also brings impacts to the environment, obviously, with more volume and more traffic. And we already know that here in the binational region, we have one of the most acute and unique and disastrous environmental public health disasters happening in our own backyard. And we're learning through science more and more recently that not only are those degrading resources and the water quality, but it's impacting the air quality. People are breathing it in, different substances that are not healthy. And so it's a public health crisis. It is an environmental ecological crisis, and it is a financial economic crisis as well. So I introduced my first bill on the first day of the session, SB 10, which would specifically and clearly amend the act to make it clear that you could SANDAG, San Diego Association of Governments, the folks that administer and collect that toll revenue to pay for the infrastructure and the maintenance of it, would be able to collect toll and add an element of that that they could negotiate and put those funds towards environmental fixes and towards environmental remediation. That's what SB 10 does.
Hmm. Well, you know, certainly hearing you talk, there's a lot at stake here. But are you concerned that cross-border trade could be negatively impacted by the toll?
No, it's not a zero sum. It's not degrading or removing any resources for the infrastructure that's so important for the economy to move goods and people across. It simply very clearly states that it's permissive language. It's not a mandate, but it says, look, you can negotiate and assess an element of toll here. And it's probably good policy, I would argue, because with more volume and more impact on the region, with more crossings, you're going to contribute to degradation to resources in the watershed as well as air quality. And we ought to be paying attention to the obvious elephant in the room, which is right there, which is a situation that, nowhere else in North America is dealing with, where you have cross-boundary flows because of the infrastructure still catching up on the raw sewage issue, and you also have commercial industrial runoff, and it's all mixing together in sort of this toxic soup in the same place at one time. And, you know, the reality is it's affecting communities that historically, in decades past, were underserved, underinvested, communities of color, often without economic and political power. And so it is a public health emergency, and as well as an environmental, ecological, and an economic problem that is acute and needs to be addressed.
Well, the bill gives specific authority to SANDAG to implement a toll, as you mentioned. How will it be enforced? I mean, you've stressed the need for urgent action here. Why not make this a mandate?
Mm-hmm. One step at a time. I think, you know, focusing on solutions and getting collaboration with all of the parties that we'll need, right, both on the toll agreement, on getting SANDAG to, you know, I mean, we've tried to make it simple, right? And that's part of the reason why it's not a mandate, right? Let's give people options. Let's encourage collaboration. Let's look through the logistical challenges that may be presented by this. I don't believe it's rocket science to say, you know, you've got an architecture that exists about and an existing statute that says what you can utilize this for.
I think many would say that taking it one step at a time and encouraging collaboration is a very diplomatic approach. Can we afford that approach when
behind? I mean, I think one thing we've been clear about, right? I mean, if that doesn't work, then we're happy to take different approaches, right? But I think most folks understand that we're all paying a price for this. Some of the people who can afford it the least are paying a personal health price. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough work. And it will require some renegotiating. It will require some additional work. But that's, you know, frankly, that's our responsibility.
That was Senator Steve Padilla with KPBS host Jade Heidman. You can listen to their full conversation on the Midday Edition podcast. In July, Trump's campaign said the demise of the Conservative Policy Agenda Project 2025 was welcome. But Public Matters reporter Amita Sharma reports that Trump's choices may mean the plan is still in play.
Trump's representatives could not have been clearer this summer about Project 2025. They said the plan had nothing to do with the campaign or Trump. A day after Trump won the election, San Diego County Republican Party Chairman Corey Gustafson reiterated that point.
I'm going to take the president at his word on that.
But since then, Trump has selected contributors to Project 2025 for his administration, including Director of the Office of Management and Budget, Border Czar, and Chairman of the Federal Communications Commission. Project 2025 includes funding cuts to Medicaid and Medicare, assistance to senior citizens, and programs that feed children. It would also dismantle the Department of Education and give the president more power over prosecutions. Conservative writer Bill Kristol has little doubt Project 2025 will be implemented and says the new administration has every right to do so.
But they don't have the right to do it out of the daylight. They don't have a right to go around Congress.
Meanwhile, Trump has also announced plans to create a Department of Government Efficiency, a step widely seen as a Project 2025 goal to rid the federal government of, quote, the deep state. Amita Sharma, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Tuesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers. Experience the new 2024 Corolla with classic styling and offering up to 35 mpg, Toyota Safety Sense 3.0, and more. See your Toyota dealer to explore all Corolla options. San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.